Okay, we're going to start, we're going to concentrate over 2b2, because it's all Hemshech, okay? So 2b2, it's Rav Huna Sha'al, Asher Shana Tala Mitzvasai, Mashi Yichayva Arla. So first he asks, are you Chayva Arla if you plant an Esreg? If you plant a tree just for an Esreg? Again, when you plant a tree only for a Getter, or for Eitzim, it's Pater from Arla. If you plant it for Peiris, it's Chayiv in Arla. What if you do it for a mitzvah? So you're not going to eat the fruit, but it's a fruit, right? What's that? That's kind of like in between. So that was his original question. Then Chazar Rav Huna v'Amar, he said, Esra Shana Tola Mitzvah say Chayiv v'Arla. That it was pasha to him. Because the pshat is, Rav Tzvi Pesach learns the pshat in the Gemara is the pshat is that although you may not want to eat it, but it's for the purpose of it being a pri. That's why you're planting it for Paris. And therefore, it's chalon at the din of Arla. For lakein tanina lakachin lachem v'lo min mitzvah. When it comes to Sukkos, it says the word lachem that you can't use money that was set aside for Maaser Sheni. And use that money to buy the esrog because it says it has to come from your personal resources. So, and it also says lochem by the shlosh shalom yidel or in lochem by arla. So maybe arla also has to be something which is for you and not for the sake of mitzvah. So the gemara says ma beino. I mean, I don't know whether that was a question. And it's just left open. I'm not exactly sure what happens to that question. So the Gemara says, I skipped a page. That's why it's not what it says. Oh, so the Gemara says, Tamon, 2b3. Tamon al kachem lochem v'dom lo mina mitzvah. That there it makes sense by, what's the name, by lulav and esrog. Bram hocha, tomorrow the tamag abba shofar. Then it's like shofar. Yom tru yelochem. And we dash can recall makom that you can yotzer with a mitzvah. You can yotzer the mitzvah shofar, even if it's something which is also bar noah. The kasha l'shem yilachem areim l'yayachel mikom makom. Here lachem also is mikom makom. And any regardless of whether it's something you're going to eat, whether it's not going to eat, as long as it's peiris, it's good enough. That's the gemara.
You mean a shofar of an animal that's not kosher to eat, but it's a kosher animal.
Yeah.
He says in the footnote,
even though
if it was
Nevada, even though but his orvis is also behind no.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we say and the whole mitzvah shofar is the call. Uh-huh. So that's the Rambam says. Yeah. Okay. So now we're on Daf Gimel. That's where we left off. So what's the difference between someone who plants an esrog tree for the sake of the mitzvah? Where Rav Huna says it's for sure Arla does apply, and the case where you set it aside for firewood, which we said it does not apply. What's the difference between the two? Tamon. So my answer is, what's the difference there? When you plant a tree with the intent of burning its fruit, Kishen Shu writes of a period, Kaka writes of Eitzel. Just like he wants the tree's fruit for fuel, so also he wants the wood for the same purpose. So the fruits are therefore exactly like the wood, or the way he puts it here, it's secondary to the wood. Baram hocha, but over here, roitz v'peri v'ena roitz v'eitzel. So when I want in the esrog tree, I want the fruit. I'm not interested in the wood. The fruit is necessary. So therefore, again, like we explained. You want it, l'shem, the fruit, and that's the machayev. V'hoid ben adar, furthermore, an esrog tree is planted, must be subject to arla on account of the following logic, d'amar panino. Pri, you shall take for yourselves the fruit of an esrog tree, pri eitz hadar, right? Im oimer at eitzo. If you're going to say, excuse me, if you're going to say that an esrog produced by a tree that was planted for the sake of its mitzvah is an extension of the tree's wood, and therefore it's not subject to our law. So then, right? You wouldn't be able, you're basically saying you're making the pre like eighth. And if you're going to convert fruit to wood, it's not going to work for a mitzvah, right? So it's evident the esrog is always considered a fruit, consequently subject to arla. That's the maskanas haGemara. Okay. Ma domile. What's another case similar to this one? Let's suppose you have an olive tree, and you want to light with the olives, the oil for lighting the Hanukkah menorah. So, are you going to say the same thing? This tree should be subject to arla, even though it was planted for the purpose of a mitzvah, just like Rav Huna said, Lagabi, the Esrog tree. That's the Gemara. It's attempting to make a comparison. That's the way the English is learning the Gemara. All right, it's a little difficult to learn the Gemara this way, but that Akhlepon, I'm just going to read it the way the English has it.
Seems to be a parallel situation.
It seems to be parallel, and the Gemara objects to the comparison. Why? Because Taman, Amar Rav Yosef Rabban, it says, "Vatorah v'zeh midivrayim." Rav Yosef says the one is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So by a mitzvah d'oraisa, there's a requirement of free, but by a mitzvah d'rabbanan, right? At Amar Hachem, you say this, that Rav Huna's ruling regarding the case of the esrog tree is relevant and necessary with regard to the case of the olive tree. It should be obvious, even without taking Rav Huna's ruling into account, that the intent to use fruits for a rabbinic mitzvah cannot prevent him from being subject to arla.
Why is it so pasha to say that?
In other words, the pshat is because by a mitzvah, you could say, well, mitzvah's not lechon is nitnu. It's something which is completely off the grid of ochel, free ochel, for example. And therefore, you could have a havamina to say that it would be exempt from arla. But by, what's his name, by what? By a mitzvah d'rabbanon, is that the way he says it, Pshat? Number 10. Let's look at 10. With regard to the case of esrog, one can legitimately ask, is the owner's intent to use esrog for the biblical mitzvah, is that enough to prevent them from being classified as food? But in the case of an olive tree planted for oil, for Hanukkah, the mitzvah is drabbanon. Certainly such intent is not significant enough to exempt the tree from arla, even without Rav Huna's ruling. Well, your kavana to use something from Mr. Davana is not enough to change it. I would explain it like this, like we've always said 100 times already. The famous Nesivus, right? The Nesivus. You know what I'm talking about, right? The Nesivus says that if a person is over an Issa Davana, Bishayeg, he doesn't have to worry about it. He doesn't even have to do tshuva. Why? Because if I go ahead and I eat a piece of a nevela, b'shogeg, so the piece of nevela be'etzem is a chefzah de isura. So I ate something I ingested something which was a chefzah de isura. I have a pile was over the aver when I ate it, whether I did it with kavanah or not, but I did the ma'ase avera. What am I being over when I'm over an isadra bana, like a vasar oif b'cholav, for instance? Nothing the etzem. I'm being moirayed in what's the pasuk to listen to the chacham? On loisasser. I'm being loiver on loisasser. But if I did that for shogang, I never meant to violate, to go against the rabbanon. It's a gavra thing. It's not a chepsa thing. The iser. Let's make it simple. Iser gavra is a chepsa. Okay. So now we have a very simple thing. So when you're talking about an is a mitzvah the araisa. So the mitzvah, the araisa, is how there's a chetzah shal mitzvah of esrog. But when I'm going to plant the tree, an olive tree, to produce oil, to be mekayim the mitzvah d'rabbanan of Hanukkah, the peri as pre is defined is not changing anything. It's no chetzah shal mitzvah. It's I am trying to do a mitzvah with it. So it's a din in the gavra. So that's what the Gemara is saying. That's not significant enough to change the function of the tree. Okay, that could be the shot. Okay. Madomile Zayas Tola Halikmas Naira. Case olive tree planted to utilize the menorah in the temple. Zadator Vizadator, they're both the Araisa. So there you could possibly make such a comparison. Talk to Marabita. We're now on 3A2. Rav Yossi Omer, Rav Yossi says, remember he said that even if you say one side is for a hedge, and one side is for what? Fruit, right? That it works, right?
Yeah.
One side is exempt, and one side will be a subject to Arla. Rav Shimon Yochanan Bar Kumi Rav Yochanan, he asked the following question. Let's suppose we're not talking about a horizontal division in the tree. Let's make the division vertical. So the first half of the tree will be
a hedge,
let's say, Lamashal, and the top half will be Lamichal, or 5 carats. Either way, does it make a difference? So that's what the Gemara seems to say. The Gemara says, not told sanhatacht on this young. For Elyon Lamachal, the bottom for a hedge, the top for eating. Or San Hatachal Lamachal for Elyon Lasyog, the other way around, the bottom is for eating and the top is for a hedge. What's the rule? On Malay, so he said, he had dah. They're both the same. In other words, everything should be like the Mishnah. It should be chal, right? The part that's for Eichel should be chaladin of Arla, and the part that's for hedge should be put there regardless of which half it is. Now he has enough.
It's all growing from the same bottom stem. Like it's growing
right
bottom up. So to cut it...
How do you even do it?
It's to me, it seems very different than just dividing...
Why is it different?
It's dividing...
Because you're dividing the trunk. You mean in one case you're dividing the trunk, and in one case you're not dividing the trunk?
No, horizontally
you're not dividing the trunk. The trunk is all the way at the bottom of the tree. Dividing the body of the tree.
Let's say the hedge is 8 feet tall and the trunk goes 10 feet.
No.
Yeah.
No. that's not how it works.
That's what works in my mind.
I don't really see how your mind works. you have a tree.
No, the tree.
The trunk goes all the way up.
Yeah, the branches come up.
Up.
It's not even a trunk.
It's a bush.
That's why
it's like. Oh, wait a second.
But it's still
a bush. What do you mean a bush?
The hedge.
No, we're talking about a tree. We're talking about a fruit tree.
Yeah, but a fruit tree, I think, point is that, well, I don't know, I don't make it sound familiar, but the fruit tree doesn't have a trunk that goes to the top. The fruit tree has base, and then the branches come out with the
No. It has to, otherwise it'll be buried for Adama. If it rejuvenates every year, it would be buried for Adama. It has to be...
I don't think it's not familiar with what B. Rachmiel's saying, because his point is, either way, two different cases.
If you look at a fig tree, which I have, in the winter, it barely exists, and then it really expands in the spring. So it's a tree, but...
How high does the trunk go? Does the trunk go all the way into the body of the tree?
Like a bush, then.
Well, then I don't want to talk about a bush. I want to talk about a tree.
Mine goes to the top of my house. Mine is as tall as my house.
Is it really?
Yeah. You drive by my house, you'll see it's huge. Bigger than it was ever before.
Listen,
but it won't be that
I think you're going to see, the Gemara's going to ask, I think the Kasha is bothering you in just a second.
It won't be that way.
Okay, let's go a little further. Let's see what the Gemara says about this. The Gemara says, he had a hi-adoh, ha-tala ta-tala ni-syog, ha-elion la-michael, he-tala elion la-syog, ha-tala la-michael. It's the same thing. So the Gemara says, ketzed hi-yodeya, 3a3. The Gemara says, how do you know which is, where it begins, and where the hedge ends, and the fruit starts? The Gemara is just asking a practical question. On Rabbi Yonah, he's just giving a practical question. How to know? Maybe Zemira Messiah, you bring a vine and delineate where you want it the function to change. You have to define, you have to make a mark in the tree. Or an Arla 3A3. Joe.
3A3, okay.
A, as an apple. Apricot. Fruits. I'm telling you, Song, Michael. Until here is a hedge, and from the vine up, that'll be for fruit. Okay. Now we're going to ask a question. Okay, Nicha, I understand. Sahatacht on this yog. If the bottom half of the tree is a hedge, but Michael, the top is for food. That makes sense.
Right.
But what about Saha Taksa Lamaikal Vaelian Lisyog? What about that case? That's where the bottom is fruit and the top is hedge. Godol mitoch iser. Then the hedge part is being yonek through the part of the tree that was usur in arla. So we're growing hedge out of an arla's resource. So how's that going to work? That's the one's asking that kasha. So I think it may be similar to what was bothering you. I'm not sure.
I honestly not the same, but yeah, but it's a great
close
great
enough.
Kasha,
close enough. But I'm wrong. Okay?
He's not doing anything with the top of the tree anyway. So what difference does it make?
No, wait, one second. Hold on a second. When we say that something is a hedge, that means that the peiros are mutar b'achila within 3 years, right?
Right. There's no arla.
There's no arla on it.
Right.
So that's what I'm telling you.
Right.
I'm answering you for your question. You got it now?
Yeah.
So it makes a big difference. How could you eat those peiros if they grew from a yanika which went through the chelek which was Haka Osir Barla, okay? That's the question.
I don't understand how that case would even work.
What case would work?
You're saying that it's reversed. Why you
the bottom, the bottom, no.
Bottom
it's very simple. The bottom is the hedge.
Bottom.
I'm using the bottom to block my neighbor from seeing into my backyard.
Right.
And on the top, I'm going to use to produce fruits for my Shabbos table.
Right.
What's the problem?
So the Gemara is, I'm sorry, the other way.
Okay, sorry. The bottom is for the fruit and the top is for the hedge.
Okay, so, and
you want to know the case? I can give you a case where you have a hill and your neighbor is on a level above your house.
So
the bottom half you're using for fruit.
Or he has a pool on the roof and wants to block the...
There you go. Anyway, come up with different cases. That's your assignment. Whoever can come up with 10 different cases wins $10. Okay. The Reb Zeira Kedate. So Mar says like this. He's going to Shittah today. Now we're on Gimel Amud Beis.
Reb Zeira is the one that asked the Shabbos.
Reb Zeira asked the question?
Yes.
Yeah. So in raising this objection follows his own opinion stated elsewhere. Okay, in other words, the Gemara is explaining the question. All right. If a person has an onion, right? Let's suppose I have an onion which became a usser because it grew close to a grapevine, right? And I uprooted the onion, and I replanted it, I transplanted it, and it grew someplace else, and now it went ahead and it grew much, much more beheter than the Isser amount. Maybe 200 times, or at least drove, right? So then, I feel most of common, even increased many times its original size, Isser, it's Isser anyway. It remains Isser. We do not say that what grew afterwards, even though it grew beheter, it should be mevatel, the Isser that was there before, because A, we had this originally, right? We had this Gemara. And Gedulei Isser Malanasa Isser, because Reb Zeira holds that what? That something which grew out of Isser cannot be used to mimabatel the original Isser. So you see...
They're saying that's the reason. What's the question is why?
It grew from Isser. It started with... There's two shittas. Some shittas hold it is mevatel.
Once it's grew from Isser, anything that comes out of it is going to remain... It's going to
remain off.
According
to Reb Zeira. Right. So therefore, that was the basis of his question, how could the hedge on top be good, right?
Yeah.
So... Now let me stop here for a second. I just want to say one thing. Reb Yochanan Paskin is not like Reb Zeira. So in footnote 3, he describes a svara, why is it? What's the answer to Reb Zeira's question? And he suggests the following very partial answer. There's a klal in Yoredeya, we all know it. Zev Zegarim. You know where I first learned about Zev Zegarim when I was a kid? My father taught me about Zev Zegarim. You know the pre-chadash. He told me the pre-chadash. Why are you allowed to eat chickens? You know what chickens walk around pecking at the ground, what they're pecking at?
I don't want to know.
I'm going to tell you. You may not like it. Ants.
Mm-hmm.
They eat a lot of ants. So the pre-Hadash, who noticed this, obviously, in Europe, he had in his backyard a lot of chickens. So he says, he said, why are we allowed to eat a chicken? It's eating ants, and it's growing from Isser.
Mm-hmm.
What's the answer? The answer is Zev Zeg Gairim. No, it's also for us. If the chicken would grow exclusively the word, right? Exclusively from ants, you would not be able to eat the chicken. You know, Schefter said this about veal. A molochitin veal, they locked up the veal in a dark room so that it would not get any sunlight, not get any exercise. And they fed it a michel, a bus. One second. A michel. Yeah, I'm talking about an animal.
Okay.
They fed it exclusively a basar b'chalav michel. This was documented. Rav Schefter said, "In Cain, you're not allowed to eat veal, because the whole heter of the pre-chodesh is zevez egayrim. That not only is it eating ants, it also eats, you know, the corn that you've spread out for it as well. So it grows not just from the ants, but from other things as well." That's the first time I learned about Zev Zagarim. Anyway, whatever. It's a little history, personal history. Thought you'd like to hear it. Anyway, also you hear a pre-Kaddish. It doesn't hurt to hear a pre-Kaddish. And you also heard about Rosh Hashanah not eating veal. That's why he didn't eat veal, by the way. But then later they started making a new kind of veal, and it's no longer done that way. So therefore, this, that'll be the Hetzer over here also. It's Zev Zagarim. Yes, it's, some of it is going through the Isser part of the tree, but there are other components. You know, when it rains, and there are other sources of nourishment to the top of the tree besides that. So that's the answer.
The only nourishment that's going to happen.
I knew you were going to disagree.
Through the
okay, very good. Understood.
The only way.
That's what it says over here. I thought I saw it here. Maybe it doesn't say that here. Maybe it says something else. Let's look at 3 real quick. What remains to be explained, why is Rabbi Yochanan on second paragraph of 3? Why, in fact, we cannot suggest Rabbi Yochanan disputes Rabbi Zeira's entire premise, because Rabbi Yochanan himself also holds that the Gedulin are not Vatal, in Gedulin Isser Malin Isser. So he also agrees with Rabbi Zeira in that regard. So you have to give a different answer. So, rather, that's where the answer begins. Rabbi Yochanan must hold that since the applicability of Arla ultimately depends on the owner's intent, it's irrelevant that the fruits on the upper portion draw nourishment from the prohibited lower portion. Whatever ends up in the upper portion is automatically deemed permissible in accordance with his intent. Okay, so that's terrace number one. And then in the second terrace, in another possible approach, he mentions this thing. In the case of Rabbi Yochanan, the fruits on the upper portion draw nourishment from both the permitted and the forbidden portions of the tree. That's Deva Zegayrim. Okay, all right, fine, next. Let's go on. Now we have a series of rulings. Okay, Natolis Yog, Vachishav of Michael. You planted a tree with the intention that it was going to be a hedge, and later you reconsidered, and you intended it for it to be for food. Ba b'machshava, then it becomes subject to Arlo via his intent, meaning as soon as you decide it's going to be used for fruit, it becomes also. And not only that, I think it becomes also l'mafreya. 6, does he say that? Yeah, he says in the bottom, 6, the law of Arlo pertains to all trees intended for the production of fruit, including those that had not been intended for fruit at the time they were planted. Oh, he doesn't talk about Lumafreya in that paragraph. Okay, next. Bamamachshava, that's what he said. Lamaichal v'kishol v'shyag. Now, let's suppose you started off the other way. It was for food, and then it became a hedge. Lo kelhaminu, you can't do that. You can't undo an Arlo machshava. Next. The Torah Roshon Rishon v'shyag. Let's suppose we're going to go with years now. First year, you wanted to make it a hedge. Then, mikan ve'ela, fishavol v'lamaychol. And with regard to that point forward, your intention will be that it'll be for food. In other words, we're going to learn this in Yerushalmi now, that this is his machshava from day one. From day one, my machshava was, it's going to be year one for hedge, year two, three for food. In that case, what does it say? Once you have a machshava that includes orla, it supersedes everything. And even the first year is also awesome. Okay? So hasninon, we learned in the Mishnah, we have the case of the split tree. So you see that you can have separate intents. So just like you have separate intent on one tree, so you should have separate intents on different years of the growth. So the one answer is a partial terrace. Anybody could come up with this on their own. Tamon, lo oilam. In the case of a split tree, so the part of the tree which is for a hedge, that's going to always be hedge. And the part that's going to be for food is always going to be food. So that works. But when you're going to have the same tree that's going to the first year be hedge and then the second year be fruit, that we won't allow. Okay? Ram Hocha, Mikhevin She'ira by Machshavas Kiyuv, Yehei Chayev. One second. I don't know what happened there. Svi, you still with me?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Okay, I don't know. I had a display.
Is it deeper than just that? Because over here, it, the whole Indian of Orla, it's not shayach to say that the first year of its growth doesn't count, and then the second and third year, now it's chayach and Orla. It doesn't work like that. It has to be
why?
The first number of years. Maybe
why?
Something.
Why are you asking that? Why is that true? Why is that pasha to you? Why can't I have it be? Why can't I have it be a hedge the first year, and it'll be fruit the second and the third year? I mean, that'll be my kavanah. So we'll say, you're saying you don't understand how it could be arla just a part of the 3 years. Is that your problem?
This case is a unique thing within the concept of arla, which is that it's years, you know, a number of years in sequence.
Right. Okay. Okay. Let's go on. What if you have 3 years? Now you're going to have a full 3 years, right? So the first 3 years, which is the Arla years, they're going to be hedge years. And then after that, I'm going to use it for
fruit.
What's the rule there? Now, the Gemara says, Vahosif. This is a big shaila, what it means, what this vahosif means exactly. We'll learn like the Gra. The Gra learns the pshat is that the peros that were growing on the third year continued to grow in the fourth year, meaning it started off as hedge fruit, and then in the fourth year it continues into
fruit.
Arla fruit, right?
It's not the same apple.
So Tosfaso Ma, what was it?
Is it Orla or is it Rabai? Because it's the fourth year.
All right. So but the question is, Tosfaso Ma, what's the rule as far as Orla is concerned? 14. It's obvious the branches that were already in existence at the end of the third year don't become subject to Orla. Okay. He's learning different than the Gra, so I don't want to use the English right now. So if Yirmiyahu Amar...
Which Gra is it?
The Gra... The Grah down at the bottom, it says, Hosef, Hafi Gassin, Hosef, Tosfasu Ma'u, Pirish. Im Hosef, Oysun HaPeris Atzman. You see it?
Yeah.
Shegodu B'shas Machshavas Yog, the ones that grew while it was for hedge. Be'ahakak, Shechishav HaMaichal, Hosef, Oysun HaPeris Gufa. Umiboy Le'mahu, the question is, on those Peris themselves, what's the din? And Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Tosefes is Potter. Because Akar Shlish Harishon Hayapatame Arla Lo Nesarais My Parents Me Arla. So he's learning that the din in Arla, that once the first third grew and they were parted from Arla, even though it grows more later on, it doesn't make a difference. I mean, good question. So his Gersur, by the way, also is Tosafas Patra the way we have it in the parentheses, not in the brackets. The Gra has the parentheses. And Rabbi, let me just finish something more. Rabbi Omar. Hatosefes chayev. Hatosefes is chayev. It is going to actually be chayev in Arla. Amar Rav Yosi, Hadar Rav Yirmiya, Mishkamya Kashya, that this din of Rav Yirmiya appeared difficult from Abaisa, but less he, and it turns out it's not really a problem, Nifa, it's actually, it works out okay. And then the Gemara explains what was bothering it, from which Braisa. Kadodatoni, there's a Braisa that says like this. Soda Shevia Shlish Lasne Gai. If you have a field, that third of it grew while it was in the Shus of a Gai. And then Ulokochi Yisrael. And then a Jew purchased the field. Now we're on Dalid. Rabbi Kiva Aimer, Hatoy Sefes Potter. Rabbi Kiva said what? That doesn't matter. Whatever grew afterwards is still going to be Potter. And the Chachamim say no, Hatoy Sefes Chayiv, it's going to be Chayiv. Ahacha, so here, going like the Chachamim, Ikorei Potter, V'tosfaso Chayiv. So in other words, the issue is, what are we saying? Are we bringing a riot to what he said, or are we asking a kasha? So it depends what you were Goyris, right? So if you're Goyris, this seems to be proving that you're Chayiv, right? Because the Iker was Potter, but right, when you bought it from the Goy, it was Potter. Because the guy is not chayef, yesh king in the guy lot lafkia, and when I buy it and it grows more, so then it becomes chayef. So that should be over here too. It started out potter, and later on, what grows afterwards should be chayef. So this is, let's see. So if your guy is hatoy sefes chayef, it makes sense that we're bringing a raya to what Rabbi Yirmiya said. And the Gemara does not answer the question. This is the way they grow, I think, learns the Gemara. Okay, Adkan. I mean, yeah, you should be mind into this. This is a very lumdish Gemara.
Look at number 2 when you get a chance. It goes into about